Well, good morning, FFA. I am so excited to be here, and they just told me that I have a full house, so I am even more excited. So actually, what I need to start with is six volunteers. So if my six volunteers could come up here. All right, now of you six, how many of you have driven a wheelchair, sat in one, played in one, been in a wheelchair? Well, my heavens, all right, all of you but one. Well, you're the winner of today. So I just need you to come and stand right here. All right, if I can get you two girls, if you can just, actually, I want you to come right here and stand on either side of me. One of you right here, one of you right here. Come a little bit closer. Come a little bit closer. A little bit closer. Yep, you too. All right, you two can't move. Fire alarm goes off in this building. You two are staying right here. Perfect. Okay, I'm gonna have you two gentlemen just hold this board still. So whether you wanna put a foot on it, a foot on either side of it, I'm all right with either as long as that board doesn't move. Sound good? Okay, tell me your name.
Mason.
Now what Mason's going to do is this obstacle course in my wheelchair. So let me jump. My wheelchair's name is Arrow. Now, if you will take my wheelchair, this is what you need to do. You need to go backwards through these two girls without running their feet over. Weave through these cones, jump that board, and once you've done all of that completely stellar, I just need you to wheelie in a circle.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
Last but not least, I need you to do this in all, well, in 60 seconds or less. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here you go. You, sir, your job is to stand behind him, and if something goes a little sticky,
right,
to
got
just
it.
Save him.
Okay.
All right, what questions do you have?
I'm good.
On your marks? Don't do that. You don't want to get that caught on your wheels. Okay, on your marks, get set, go. If you run their feet over, it's all right.
Don't run it. I'm sorry.
Give Mason a round of applause. We are through the first obstacle. All right, secondly, just don't tip those cones over. Round of applause, we are through the second obstacle. Okay, wait a minute. I just need everyone in here to know, I am not responsible for any injury or death that could occur during this obstacle. My heavens. Give him a round of applause for his effort right there. Okay, you better bring me Arrow back. Can you wheel me my chair? I mean, you have 6 seconds. Do you want to try one more time, or do you want to bring me my chair? All right, bring it over. Spotter, where were you?
I don't know. He wasn't there.
That's your only job. All right, if you'll jump out of here. Give Mason a round of applause. He can go sit down. My spotter, you are also welcome to sit down. You two, boy, where are you going? You two stay on that board. Spotter, you're allowed to leave.
Yes.
Give my spotter a round of applause. He did a good job. All right, so you guys saw this obstacle course that Mason needed to do. Give these two girls a round of applause. You can go sit down. He needed to go backwards through those two girls without hitting them, weave through these cones, jump this board, and last but not least, just wheelie in a circle. Pretty simple, right? Give these two round of applause. You can go sit down. Thank you. So these obstacles are things that I do every day. They're easier for me because of that. For Mason, they're a little bit trickier because these are new to him. But every person in this room is going to have those obstacles. Every person will have them. You may not always get to choose what obstacle you have, but you do get to choose how you're going to handle it. And in this situation, when you face an obstacle, well, face it like Mason did. Each one of us is going to have those obstacles. Never compare yours to somebody else's because we're all going to have our own unique obstacle, and we're all going to have our own way of facing it. So I want to tell you a story about my first date. Now, you can all think about your first date. Were you nervous? If you say no, you're lying, because everybody is nervous on their first date. I am no different. I'm going on my first date in a wheelchair, and I'll tell you what, I am nervous. Well, we go out to dinner, and so far everything is perfect. I mean, I'm looking good, he's looking good, we're looking good together. Well, we come outside of the restaurant, and lo and behold, there is this curb. Now, I've learned how to go down a curb. You get in a wheelie, you get right up next to it, and you pop on down. Pretty simple, right? Now, before I can continue this story, I need to make sure we're all on the same page. And here, in all things, in all times, and in all places, whether a man is around or not, it will be his fault. This situation is no different. So I am in this wheelie and getting ready for this curb, and this boy says, "Hey, Am, do you need any help?" Okay, I have gone 18 years of my life being very independent, and then here I am in this situation where I needed a lot of help. So I turned to that boy and I said, "No, I've got this." But of course, he distracted me, so one wheel went down before the other on this curb. When that happens in a wheelchair, you flip over. So yes, here I am, flipped over in this parking lot, thinking, oh my gosh, my nightmare just came true. This boy looks at me and says, "Do you need any help now?" I said, "Yes, I'm gonna need your help to get back up." So he comes in front of me and puts out his hand. I said, that's not gonna work. And I don't blame him. Okay, his date just slipped over in her wheelchair. What are you gonna do in this situation? Are you gonna laugh at her? Are you gonna cry with her? Are you just gonna turn around and pretend like you didn't see her? Because he is not sure how to handle this. So I said, okay, I call it a princess carry. You're gonna need to put one arm underneath my knees, one arm behind my back, and pick me up. He was a bull rider. I gave him the benefit of the doubt in this moment. So he comes over, one arm underneath my knees, one arm behind my back, and picks me up. We both look back down at my wheelchair, still flipped over. His solution at this point is to kick at my wheelchair. So he is kicking at it. Well, he finally gets it up. The brakes weren't on. So it starts rolling across this parking lot. Oh yeah, just picture this with me. Boy carrying girl chasing wheelchair across the parking lot. Yep, this is what is happening on my first date. I'll tell you what, I am freaking out. Well, we finally get my wheelchair caught. He gets me down in my chair. And only then does this couple walk out of the restaurant. So I had that moment where this is now going to be funny for me. So I looked at that couple. I looked at that boy. I turned back to that couple and said, "Can you believe this kid? He just dumped me out of my wheelchair." Oh, he was petrified. But this was an experience where I was literally knocked down. I was literally laying on my back in this parking lot. I needed the help, but I was able to get back up. There's going to be experiences in all your lives where you are that person that is knocked down. You are that person laying on your back. It's okay to get that help. It's what we're here for. We're here to help each other grow, succeed, become better people, not only as FFA members, but in our own lives. It's okay to ask for it. And in any situation, always be willing to offer, because even if you have offered the last 10 times and been told no, offer that 11th. Because maybe that 11th time is the time when that person truly needs it. Now, I want to tell you about 2009. 2009 was the greatest year of my life. 2009, I was serving as Utah State FFA president. This was a leadership position I had wanted through all of high school. Finally, the year after I graduated, I was able to run. Not only was I elected, but I was elected as the Utah State FFA president for 2009. During that year of office, I traveled around to different high schools and realized how much I love to teach. You know when you have that moment when you discover what you want to be for the rest of your life, that's what I was able to do. Well, secondly, I was competing in rodeo. So I have been riding horses since I was 3 years old. I've been competing in rodeo since I was 7. I mean, I can tell you, it's not what I do. It's a part of who I am. Well, in 2009, I made it to the National Little Britches Finals as well as the high school finals. And when I came home from that National Little Britches, I came home with everything in this picture. 2 saddles, 11 buckles, and a finals and world all-around title. Thank you. Only one person can leave the world all-around cowgirl, and that year it was me. So I'm telling you, I'm on top of the world. I mean, icing on the cake, I graduated high school with a 4.0, which was a goal I'd always had. Not only applied to colleges and was accepted, but was offered scholarships. Well, let me tell you, I was offered a job in Denver, Colorado at the Stock Show, and I was going down there to work for 2.5 weeks. I leave Logan, Utah at about 4:30 in the morning to start my drive. I stop in Rawlins, Wyoming at a gas station. And when I got back in my truck, I made a decision that definitely changed my entire life. I always wear my seatbelt. But this morning I'd had a stomach ache and I thought I'm gonna take it off just for a minute. This picture right here, this is January 10th, 2010, at a little bit after 10 o'clock in the morning. As I got back in my truck, I didn't put it on, and less than 10 miles down the road, I'm going through St. Clair, Wyoming. I looked down to check my map. When I looked up, I'd faded over a lane and was heading towards a mile marker on the side of the road. I grabbed my wheel to correct my truck, and this just sent me sliding across this highway. I thought, if I can keep my truck from rolling, I'll be okay. So I grabbed my wheel with both hands, and I'm bringing my truck back straight, and there was a moment where I thought, okay, I've got this. Right then, my back right tire caught the dirt on the side of this highway and pulled me completely sideways. So at 75 miles an hour, my truck is picking up off the ground to start rolling. At 18 years old inside of it, I'm thinking this is it. I'm gonna die right here and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. I closed my eyes and I could hear the banging and crashing going on around my head. I felt myself pick up and leave through my window. At 70 miles an hour, I hit this on the side of the freeway. I hit it across my stomach, folded around it, broke it off, and carried it another 20 feet with the fence. When I opened up my eyes, I saw my truck. I thought, I'm so glad I'm not in there. If I had been in there, maybe I wouldn't be here. Well, I didn't get knocked out during this entire thing, so as I'm sitting here on the side of this highway, I thought I better do a self-evaluation. I feel my head first. It was all right. I landed sitting down with my feet out in front of me, so I looked to my hands next. Move my fingers. They were okay. I next looked to my toes, tried to move them. Nothing happened. I started pinching and rubbing at my legs to try to feel something. All I felt was that I was in warm water from the waist down. I knew something was truly wrong. So I waited. I had to wait for the first person to show up. He asked me what happened. I told him. The second man shows up to this accident site. I asked him, there was a blanket inside of my truck. Can you bring it over? I'm not cold, but I've got to be going into shock. The third woman shows up to this accident site, and I ask her if she has a phone. I decide I've got to call somebody. So this is the phone call I made to my dad. Hey, Dad. He said, hey. I said, so I got in a car accident. He said, okay, how bad? I said, pretty bad. I rolled my truck. He said, are you okay? I said, I can't feel my legs. He said, Amberly, are you paralyzed? I said, Dad, I don't know. I'm just telling you, I can't feel my legs. At that point, the cop had shown up to this accident site, so I told him I had to go. They load me in the ambulance, and they take me back to Rollins, which is where I very first heard the news. The news I was pretty sure I already knew, but nobody had said out loud yet. The doctor walks in, and I don't even think he was talking to me, but he starts talking about being paralyzed. I said, whoa, wait a minute, what are the chances of me feeling or moving my legs again? He said, slim to none, but more to the none, and left the room. So at 18 years old, I'm laying on that table trying to take in that information. How am I going to finish my year of office? How am I going to ride my horses? I can't spend the rest of my life in a wheelchair. They load me in the Lifelight helicopter and they take me to Casper, where I go through 5 hours of surgery, which left me with a whole lot of hardware in my back. I wake up from surgery and my mom had shown up there, and she said within an instant I'd gone from this girl with the world at her fingertips to now, neck brace, broken back, on oxygen, not sure what the rest of my life was going to hold. I spent 10 days there in Casper before they were finally able to fly me back to Utah for therapy. I want to tell you about therapy, but before I get to that, I need my three more volunteers to come up here on this stage. Now, in this bag, I have three different items. Each one of these FFA members are going to take one of these items out of this bag, and then I'm going to tell them what they've got to do with what they've drawn out. Sound good? All right, who wants to go first? Looks like you.
All right.
Don't look in the bag.
Grab anything?
Yep. Perfect. Show everybody what you got. A beautiful pink leopard scarf. I'm just going to need you to put that on and give us your best model walk and pose on the front of this stage. Model walk. All right. You're next. Don't look in the bag. Show everybody what you got.
It's a chicken.
A little wooden chicken. I'm just going to need you to give us your best chicken imitation right here, front and center.
All right.
I'll take the chicken.
Okay.
Round of applause for his chicken. All right, last but not least, show everybody what you got. Snickers bar. You're not allergic, right? I just need you to open it up and take a bite. Give her a round of applause for her great work. You three can go sit down. Thank you. You three, you can go sit down. All right, so in this bag, there were three different items. In this bag, there were three different obstacles. This bag is a little bit like life. We all have to draw out of this bag of life for our next obstacle. We may not always get to choose what we draw out, but we do get to choose how we're going to handle it. So I'm going to tell you what, I feel like I have drawn out the biggest obstacle of my life, and I now have to decide how I'm going to handle it. So my very first day of therapy, my nurse walks into my room and she says, Amberly, we need to set some goals. I told her, easy. Walk, ride, rodeo. I said, that's all I care about. She gave me the look like, girl, you have no idea how hard this is about to be. She was right. I had to set smaller goals like being able to move myself from my chair to a bed. or to be able to wheelie, or even to get dressed in the morning. Everything was hard. But I was to set those smaller goals so I could get to my bigger ones. So guys, what was my first one? Oh, let's get that one more time. What was my first one? Walking. Now, I may not have left the hospital walking like I planned on, but when I left, I got leg braces and was able to stand on those leg braces. Maybe not ideal, maybe not perfect, but for me, it was enough to check it off the list. Now, I want to tell you an experience that I had. About 2 years after my accident, I was invited to Cheyenne, Wyoming for the daddy of them all. Any of you heard of this rodeo? So this is a pretty big rodeo in Cheyenne, and I'm invited to go down there for a charity event, so I tell them, okay, well, this is my first time driving on that same road I wrecked on. Well, this time around, I have my mom with me, and she wants me to walk her through the steps of that morning, so I'm telling her, this is the last place I ate. This is the last place I filled up. This is Rollins. This is the last place I was walking. And this span of fence? Well, this is where my life completely changed. So, of course, this is pretty tough on both of us. About 20 minutes later, we stop at a gas station, and I wheel into that gas station, and hanging on the wall is this quote. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. It was in that moment I realized that maybe I don't have control over this whole situation. Maybe I don't get to make every decision each morning. Maybe you all won't have control over every situation in your life. But when you wake up in the morning, you get to decide your attitude. And if that's going to be the only decision you get to make in that day, well, you might as well make it a good one. So now I want to get to my second goal. I need your help again. What was my second goal?
Riding.
I told myself if I got back on my horse, that would be the one thing that would never change. I'm going to tell you what, that very first day I sat on that saddle, that day was harder for me than the day they told me I would never walk again. It was in that moment that I realized every part of my life was different. So I went through the modifications. I got a seatbelt on my saddle. I have Velcro straps around my legs. My feet are rubber banded in. I have a nylon strap across my left hip, and I sit on a seat of air like my wheelchair seat. All of these pieces are to hold me center, balanced, and protected in this saddle. Well, I rode through that summer, but I had an experience where I was kind of frustrated. I'll tell you, the first time I got on was 4 months after. So I rode through that whole summer, but this experience I had made me pretty frustrated. So frustrated that I told my mom, sell my horses. They are way too athletic for me to ride them. Well, I go to college that fall, and I want to tell you an experience that I had while I was at college that changed my perspective. So I have a question for all of you in here. How many of you in here have ever shot a gun? Okay, we're at an FFA convention. I probably should have expected that. Well, I was a little behind the curve, I'll admit. First time I shot a gun was when I was like 16, and the biggest thing I'd ever shot was a 22. Well, in that fall after my accident, I was invited to go down to Monticello, Utah to go hunt. Well, let me tell you about hunting. The very first day of hunting, we pull up to this big alfalfa field. I can shoot from within a truck legally. And then there was this big alfalfa field that these deer would drop into. First night we're there, it's about 5:30, and these deer start dropping into this field. I mean, a doe, a spike, a 2-point, 3-point, everything by 6 o'clock. I'm going to tell you what, there was that really nice 3-point. This is my first time hunting. I'm thinking I'm going to take him home. Well, the guide, which is that man sitting next to me, Don, says, don't shoot him, we're going to get you something better. I trust him. We go to bed that night, we wake up the next morning, and we start looking. Now, any of you in here who are hunters can maybe know this experience that I had. We look all day, and we didn't see absolutely anything. I have now learned that hunting is one of the most boring things you will do in your life. Well, I have. This little bit of hope. We're going to go back to that field that night. That 3 points coming back. I don't care what anybody says. He's mine. So the next night we're there. 5:30. Nothing. 6 o'clock rolls around, and the only thing in this field is one doe and one spike. Well, I am thinking, I will not survive another day of this. So you guys know I'm not riding, right? This is the fall after my accident, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm a little frustrated because I feel like God gave me this talent, this love, this passion for horses, yet here I was in this situation where I couldn't do it. So as I'm sitting in this truck, I thought, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I have two guides on this side, and I have my brother behind me, and I decide, I'm going to say a prayer. This is how the prayer goes. All right, God, if you hear me, you listen to me, and you love me, send me a buck. Amen. Can I show you what walked out of the woods? This guy. And he walked out on... That's the reaction I wanted. And he walks out on a mission. He's about 250 yards away when he very first walks out of this brush, all right? And the way you want to shoot a deer is broadside, right? Head here, tail here. He turns broadside. I'm like, hey, there's my buck. But you're kind of far away. The second I think that, he puts his head in the air, comes in another 30 yards, turns broadside. All right, that's better. But this is my first time shooting a big gun. He's like, okay, fine. Puts his head in the air, comes in another 20 yards. Turns broadside. All right, you're getting better. But I really kind of want you closer. I'm sure he's thinking, woman, are you kidding me? But he does. He continues to come in until he's 100 yards away from me, turns broadside, and holds completely still. Now that buck does hang on my mother's kitchen wall. And every time I wheel into that kitchen, first of all, I'm reminded that God loves me. But secondly, I'm reminded that good things can come out of not so good situations. You all have heard the saying, when life gives you lemons, right? One day I was at a speech and I asked the crowd, when life gives you lemons, what do you do? And this woman says, make anything you freaking want. I said, you're absolutely right. When life gives lemons, we can do absolutely whatever we want with them. I'll be honest, I feel like I'm riding on a lemon a lot of the time. But moments like shooting this buck and moments like speaking at the National FFA Convention, those are the sweeter moments for me. Those are the moments that you guys need to hold on to in any situation that you are in, because those sweeter moments are going to get you through the lemony times. So after this experience, I decide, all right, I'm ready to get back on. That next spring, I get back on my horse, and now that I have gotten on, I've ridden, I need to get to my last goal. Now, tell me what that was.
Rodeo.
One more time. What was it?
Rodeo.
Not only did I want to be able to get on my horse, but I wanted to compete. I now not only barrel race, but I breakaway rope as well. I want to tell you about breakaway roping, though. So I was a little nervous to get back into breakaway roping. Any of you who rope in here understand you want to get up in your saddle. You want to be able to stand on your feet. You want to be able to get forward so you can get your tip down to rope that calf, that steer, whatever you've got. Well, I'm a little nervous now. I'm strapped into my saddle. I can't stand up. I can't get over. I can't get my tip down. So I'm going to tell you, I was one day at this rodeo, and Stran Smith was there, and I was telling Stran, I said, I don't know if you guys know Stran Smith, but I was in there with Stran, and I said, I'm nervous. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up to rope my calves. His reply to me was pretty dang simple. Any of you know Joe Beaver? Now, Joe Beaver, this is what he said about him. He said, Joe Beaver doesn't get his butt out of his saddle, and he ropes just fine. I said, all right, I guess I'm going to be able to do it. So now I have returned to breakaway roping and barrel racing, events that I have loved my whole life. And I want to tell you an experience that I had that was, well, definitely life-changing. This last March, I was able to run in the rodeo called The American. Thank you. The American is the world's richest one-day rodeo. I mean, you win the American, you win $1 million. So I'm running in this arena against 11-time world champion Charmaine James. I'm running against the top 10 in the world. I mean, I'm running against some pretty stiff competition. Okay, I'm gonna have to admit I didn't win the million. But I did run 2/10 off of the reigning world champion, Fallon Taylor. Thank you. That experience was one that showed me that even though I'm in this situation, even though I'm strapped to my saddle, I can still run with the best out there. Now, with your help, I can get back to the American this next year. But I'm going to tell you an experience that I had that was above and beyond what I ever expected, like this one. Well, I do these things called Wheelchair Wednesdays every Wednesday. I don't know if any of you have heard of these Wheelchair Wednesdays. But every Wednesday, I post a video, or almost every Wednesday, of something that I do in my wheelchair, whether it's with or without my horses. I was getting asked all the time, how do you ride, how do you saddle, how do you do all the things that you do in your chair? So I decided I would start making these. Now, I made these for those who were in chairs or new to this situation to understand what they were capable of, or for those who were completely able-bodied to have a little bit of an insight of what we go through on a daily basis. Well, let me tell you about one of my favorite Wheelchair Wednesdays. So if I get as tall as I can go, reach up as high as I get. This is still not touching the top of my horse's back. Power, my barrel horse, he's pretty tall. He's 16'3" hands, nearly 17 hands. Getting lifted on and off of him was something that I just had to do. Well, one weekend I was at a rodeo, and well, the people who were gonna help me off kind of forgot. So as I am lowering myself down into my wheelchair, now this is okay, I've done this before, I thought, I wonder if I could get myself back on. Now, I want to show you one of my most favorite Wheelchair Wednesdays that I've ever had. This is my rope horse, Wrangler. He's shorter than my barrel horse. If you guys have been following my Wheelchair Wednesdays, you know that. So at some point, I'll try it on my barrel horse, but right now, it's just on Wrangler. So, granted, this is only like my fourth time doing this, so we're still a little rusty, but anyway, it's still pretty cool. So in order to do it, I have to reach up on this ladder that's on my trailer, reach my saddle horn, pull myself up, and I can land on the saddle. So it's gonna work. Thank you. So I was pretty stoked about that, I'll admit. I mean, I could flex for you up. Okay, let's just flex for you up here. I've been able to gain these muscles through a lot of hard work and a lot of time and effort into them. But I want to tell you something that I learned. If at any point along the way I had decided this was it, I had decided I wouldn't make it any farther, I would have been right. One of my favorite quotes that I want to share with you is that there's no future in giving up. If at any point along the way you decide this is it, you decide this is as far as you're going to get, you will be right. Now, this last story I want to share with you. I was in an elementary school one day speaking, and I got done early, and these kids were able to ask me questions. Any of you with elementary-aged siblings can understand the questions I'm getting. What's your favorite color? What's your horse's name? These are the questions I'm getting from these kids. Well, there was this tiny little second grader on the front row raising his hand so politely. So I call on him expecting that same type of a question. He asks, if you could go back to that day and change it, would you? I'll tell you what, nobody had ever asked me that, and here is this tiny little boy asking me this huge question. The first thing I wanted to say was, yes, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, why would I want to spend my life in a chair? But before I replied to him, I thought about the good things. I thought about the places I've been, the people I've met, the opportunities I've been given because of this silly wheelchair. So I replied to him, no. I said, I'm a true believer and everything happens for a reason. There's a reason that I'm in this chair and a purpose that I'm going to serve. And by the way, I have no doubt in my mind that I'm going to walk again. It's not if, it's just when. But that experience was one where I really thought about how lucky and blessed I have been. We are all going to have those moments, those obstacles, those trials in our lives. Everything happens for a reason. It may seem hard in that moment, but know that if you dig deep and you never give up, you can keep going. And I want to challenge each and every one of you in here. Though no matter what you face now or no matter what you face in the future, don't ever give up, not only on yourself, but on the Lord and on the support around you, because between all of those things, you're going to be able to keep going. And I want to thank you all for being a part of this FFA experience with me.